setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Here we go, live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You are joining a conversation about you, who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. It is about you and your purpose, which is about other people. You are created to work. That's right. Not as a workaholic, not all of your identity in your work. Simply, you were created to contribute, to make this world a better place through your gifts, your gift of talent, your gift of passion, your gift of mission. Talent's what you do well. Hard skills, soft skills. Passion is work you love, a task or a function, a role. And then finally, mission. Those are the results that your heart swells with. You contribute these results. Oh, that's a good day. It's a good week, good month, good year, good career. 844-747-2577. It's a caller-driven show. 844-747-2577. We'll get to the phones, but I have said this many times on the program before, and it bears repeating, and we got some new data that backs me up. So anytime there's data that backs me up, I'm going to bang the drum a little louder because I don't want you to think that this is just my opinion. I mean, I've got opinions, but it's based on fact. New study out by OnePoll. Half of office workers in the United States are looking for a new job because of their leader, their manager. Now, I give you this information for a couple reasons. One, you need to be okay with this. You need to go, hey, okay, it's just not me. A lot of people that are unhappy with their leadership. One of the big reasons is because we've got a lot of poor leadership out there. Hurting people hurt people. That's an old phrase. So leaders that are not healthy in their personal life or professional life, that's going to spill out on the people they're leading. It just is what it is. And you have a lot of leaders who politically, they kind of moved up into the position. They've never had any real leadership development. And they're just trying to figure it out as they go. Don't discount the fact that many leaders lead the way they have been led. Ooh. So poor leadership begets more poor leadership. Well, this is the way they did it. I didn't like it, but yeah, that's all I ever know. I'm just going to kind of do that. I guess that's what leaders do. So let's dig into some of the data here from the study. Beyond the 50% are looking for a new job because of their manager. Now, I've said this before. People don't leave companies. They leave leaders. They don't just go, well, I don't like this company. No, they may say that. But what they're really saying is that my leader didn't change it. My leader didn't do anything about it. And they leave leaders. 52% of people revealed they're leaving because of the manager. So it's right above 50%. All right, let's look at some more data. Because this is an interesting breakdown of information here. They are looking for better communication. Better communication. 53% of the respondents said that the number one thing they want to see more of, number one thing they want to see more of is feedback. Give me some feedback. I want to know where I stand. This is just a human element here. They want more feedback from their leader. I'll bet you if we dove into this survey, which I don't have all of it in front of me, that just any feedback is what people are looking for. Just anything. Just give me any feedback at all. People want to know where they stand. 53% want more feedback. That beat out 48% of people saying they wanted more compensation. And then tied with more compensation. Listen to this, folks. tied with more compensation at 48%, is honest communication. So two out of those three are all about communication. One is, I want some feedback. Tell me, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? Can I do better? How can I do it better? They're looking for feedback. Second thing is looking for honest communication. Now, you could really analyze this to death, but I don't think that we have a bunch of lying leaders out there. I just don't. But what I do think is that we have leaders who don't give the full picture, or they refuse to be clear in communication. Let me give you an example that we hear on the show all the time that makes the point. We get this call all the time. Ken, I've talked to my leader about a promotion. They said it's going to happen soon. It hasn't happened for a while. I went back, had another meeting. Still hasn't happened. So I like to call this the kick the can down the road leadership. So when a leader never truly clearly communicates, here's when you're going to get the opportunity promoted, here's what's going to have to happen, they just kind of say, well, we want it to happen, and check back in with me. That's not clear communication. It's also what creates this idea in people's minds that you're not being honest with them. So you may not have been dishonest to the point of being a liar and lying. That's dishonesty. You weren't dishonest. You just didn't give any kind of answer at all. It was a, well, we'll see. But here's what happens. You kick the can down the road by not being clear, detailed, full expectations. You do that more than once with somebody, trust starts to erode. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. You ask your kid something, your kid gives you one of those round-the-world answers. You're kind of like, but you really want to believe your kid because it's your kid. And then you find out later they didn't give you all the information. What happens? Trust starts to erode. So it's not always just straight up dishonesty and lying. It's just really, really muddy communication. It's not clear. And that's what causes people to say, hey, I want you to be more honest with me. What they're really saying is, would you give me the whole picture, please? Which again, feeds back into that first communication issue, which is feedback. Why do people want to know? Because they want to know where they stand. You talk about frustration. I don't know. I don't know if I got a shot of getting promoted here or not. So, if that's you, and you're in that 52% of people who are looking because you have poor leadership, you better take stock. You better take stock and make sure that it really is poor leadership. It's not just your feelings being hurt. Because a lot of leaders, as I mentioned a few moments ago, have never been taught how to lead. They've never been developed themselves. So I think you owe it to them to be respectful and humble, but say, hey, this is going on here. You're not telling them how to lead. You're just going, hey, these circumstances are happening. Are you aware of it? Can we work together to try to fix that? A healthy person might go, yeah, thank you for making me aware of it. An unhealthy person is going to play it off, blow it off. And then there's your confirmation that it is leadership, and then you should leave. Don't move. Your call's coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Every day on the Ken Coleman Show, I talk to people who want to switch to a technology career, but they're worried it's going to cost way too much and take too long. Well, now my friends at Bethel Tech take care of all of that. You can get the most in-demand tech skills online and affordably. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to learn how you can save $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition and get a great technology job. betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Again, that's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, rolling along here from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. This is the Ken Coleman Show. It's where we help men and women get clear on the age-old question, what should I do with my life? That's stage one. Everybody needs to know, what's my mountaintop? Then stage two is get qualified. Stage three, get connected. Stage four, get started. Stage five, get promoted. Stage six, get the dream job. And then stage seven, truly working like no one else. We've gotten to the top of that mountain, and we've been looking up the whole way. And this is my favorite part, is I'm there now. Okay, I worked hard 9 years to get this opportunity. You get up on top of that mountain, you're in the dream job. You don't just sit back with a glass of sun tea chilling in the hammock. So you've been looking up the whole way. When you get up there in the dream job, say, shake down, you're in stage seven. Now you're looking out. You're looking out. Sir Edmund Hillary, this is a wonderful illustration. When he was the first man, he and his trusted, beloved Sherpa, they get to the top of Mount Everest. Can you imagine how long and how difficult that climb is? The mental anguish, the emotional anguish, physical anguish. They finally get up to the top of Mount Everest. No one's ever been up there before. They're one of the highest points in all the world, and they're looking, they've been looking up, 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 and they get up there, and they look out, and they're just standing there and just looking at it. Can you imagine the vista? And Hillary records, after being up there for a few minutes, taking it all in, noticing another peak. And he said to his pal, I think that's the one we're going to climb next. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's good. I got goosebumps. A little foreshadowing. That's how I begin the final chapter of my book that comes out this November. Stay tuned. But that's what it's like. When we get to that dream job, it's not about, okay, I've made all the money I want to make and I'm super successful and I got the toys and I just kick back. No, 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 no. Success will follow that journey, but it is significance that we're chasing here on the Ken Coleman Show. I want to know that I'm using my talent, what I do best, to perform my passion work that makes me feel alive, to produce results, to accomplish things in this world that means something deeply to me. It's the same for you. You're on purpose when you use what you do best to do work you love, to accomplish results that matter to you. So come on. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Kansas City, Missouri is where Dustin joins us. Dustin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
Dustin, I'm living the dream. I'm all fired up. I'm ready for you. What's going on?
Hey, I actually talked to you and Dave last week, but I didn't get to ask you all the question I was wanting
to. Oh, I like this. Get a little Ramsey Show, and then you call the Ken Coleman Show for a little extra deep dive. What's going on?
Exactly. Well, I don't know if you quite remember. I'm sure you take a lot of phone calls, but I am 21 years old. I was the one that was doing the flip houses, and then I was also a roofer up in the Kansas City area.
Yeah.
Well, I was wanting to pursue this fall. I was wanting to pursue some online classes for schooling. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's CAD design.
I'm somewhat, barely familiar.
It's a computer-aided design. It's pretty much you can do a lot of different things with it.
Good.
Designing storage units and stuff like that with it. And I just didn't know exactly where you would go with it. There's a professional certificate you can get. It has the bulk of everything you need to learn. And then there's associates in it, which will give you the general education courses. And I didn't know which one you would recommend for me as far as the future.
I would do the one that gives you the absolute max benefit. So if the professional one gives you way more experience or way more skill, great, do it. If there's not very much difference between the two as it relates to real practical skill development or experience, then I would take the lesser of the two. What's the difference in the cost?
Probably about, I think it was around $4,000 a year.
So let me tell you something right now. If it was $400, I'd go, I don't think it matters. $4,000, I'm going to go, what am I getting in for $4,000 in difference? Do you know? Have you done your homework on that?
Yeah, I've done my homework, and I've talked to some other employers that went that route.
What'd they say?
They said the associate will get you. They generally like to see the associate because it shows that you'll finish a 2-year schooling
Great.
Completely. And but the other one, the professional, it gives you everything without the applied, and you don't usually use the associate stuff that would come with it as far as the gen ed courses. So they kind of had mixed feelings about it. They didn't really give me a straight answer, though.
Yeah, but you have a feeling. What's your feeling? I'll tell you what I think, but what's your feeling before you called me?
I would like to do the associates, but I don't know if it's fully worth it, especially being such a big price difference.
Yeah, that's what I think. I would not pay the extra $4,000 for something that was, that's essentially what you told me. You talked to professionals out there, and it wasn't a clear cut. Oh, yeah, you got to take the big boy premium. Nobody said that. Maybe a couple people did, but it wasn't this slam dunk. And I got to tell you, in the world you're going into, roofing and all that construction stuff, you don't need all that fancy schmancy stuff.
Definitely not.
Yeah, dude, save the $4,000, man. Start hanging out, having coffee and lunch with guys that are professional roofers. You know, you're a young guy. You don't have the wife and kids and all that. I'd be driving around construction sites and where a bunch of homes are going up. See guys up on the roof, be going in there and rock their socks off. Go in there with a $100 bill and a bunch of snacks and drinks and stuff. And go, hey, I want to pick you guys' brains on this stuff. I'm telling you, Joe, that's the way to go. You know what I mean? It's all about real life experience. We talked about this in our YouTube hour earlier today. It was in Momentum Monday. Oh, let's do this. I'm getting ahead of it. Joe, give me some Momentum Monday music. Let's give this update. This is great. All right. So Momentum Monday is this. We ask you, the people, whether it be email, ask@kencoleman.com or my Instagram page @KenColeman or in our YouTube chat room, just give us these little updates. You know, you're not stepping into the dream job yet, but you're making some progress. We like to share these with people because it encourages others. They hear your story and they go, oh, that's where I am. So I got to lead with this. So I read this in our YouTube hour. Boyd, this comes in off the YouTube channel. It says, hey, Ken, I'm 15. I love that, by the way, because I'm 46 and I've got a 15-year-old and my kids think I am just not cool. Okay.
It's normal.
I had a guy ask me out in the lobby recently. I was out meeting people. And the guy goes, how do you keep grounded? I went, I got three kids, 12, 13, and 15. I could come from New York doing major news show or whatever. You have some great thing happen. I walk in the door. They don't care. They are not impressed. And I'm grateful for that because that keeps me grounded. Just when I think I might be doing something, I might just be a little bit of a big shot. All I got to do is go home. Oh, it's all gone, baby. Anyway, boy, 15 says, hey, Ken, I'm 15. I just got into HVAC school. I went bananas on this. 15, HVAC school. That's incredible. Now, I'm assuming that mom and dad, right, they know this kid wants to go into HVAC work. He's checked it out to the point where he's like, I'm 15. I'm going to go learn how to be an HVAC professional. Well, let me tell you something. There's zero associate's degree. If his parents called me up, just like this last caller, Dustin, and they called up and said, hey, listen, Boyd is a great kid. He's 15. He's in HVAC school. Do you think he should go to college? I'm going to go, no! What? Why? I went a step further last show. So I'm going to say it again. If I'm Boyd's parents, I pull Boyd out of school, high school. Why does Boyd need to sit in a ninth grade biology class trying to memorize a six-syllable word that has to do with the digestive system of a spider? This is the kind of stuff my kids are learning. What if you're not going to be a zoologist, why are we doing this to 15-year-old kids? Take only the education and the certification that you need. Forget everything else. Because it doesn't matter. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get unstuck and then helping you get on purpose in your life and your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Different kind of talk radio. We're not talking politics. We're talking purpose. But I'll make one political statement. Your future has nothing to do with anything that's coming out of Washington, D.C., so let me set you free. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Damaris is going to join us in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Damaris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I am calling you because I'm wondering if this is a good time to switch careers. I'm currently working as a part-time bookkeeper, hybrid, remotely, and in the office only 6 hours a week. And then it's just not my passion, to be honest with you.
Well, let's answer your big question. Sure, it's the right time, but now we got to work through the timing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're part-time only?
I am. So just really quickly, I was working another job, making pretty good money. I actually spoke with Dave Ramsey last week because I lost my job, and I've been looking for a full-time remote bookkeeper position because my son is home still. He's still learning virtually. The school is not sure when they'll be back,
right.
And so since then I've been looking for a full-time remote, but the only position open available to me was a part-time bookkeeper remote position.
Sure.
But as I explained, I'm working part-time. I'm actually doing a little bit of DoorDash. We have some debt, so we're trying to pay that off.
Good.
But that's not my passion. My passion is to help other people. I have an associate's in social work. I did internship in a homeless shelter. I've helped teaching. I love teaching kids. I was helping in Sunday school. And
so what would you do? Let's dream.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's great. You're giving me a lot of good information. So what would you do tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail? Let's say I just wave my Ken Coleman Show pencil in the air. Poof, you're in a new career. What would you try?
Something working with teenagers. One of my dreams is to open a place where they can hang out after school in a safe place.
How much money do you need to make?
To pay off our debt, it would be good to be about $50,000 or more.
Okay. All right. So we've got some practical things here that you guys are in your baby steps. And so I know you want to switch profession. Right. So I'm all for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But let's just take a quick snapshot of what's ahead for you. Okay. So you're in what I would call stage one. It's what we call our 7 stages to meaningful work. Stage one is get clear. You're really clear on what you would love to do. I think you know your mountaintop, that dream job. Okay.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is we want to step back now that we're clear on that. And we're going to go, okay, so I've got to make money. Because I got some debt, right? We got bills, but I also want to make progress.
Correct.
Okay, so we look at, all right, what is it going to take for me to eventually have a place where teenagers can come hang and it's a safe place? Well, that the good news about that dream is there's no qualification or degree that you need. That's going to come down to you having the cash flow to be able to rent a place. You don't even have to buy a place.
Exactly.
And you kind of get it out there in the community. This is a safe place for kids to kind of hang out with some adult supervision, yada, 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 whatever your dream is. Okay.
Right.
So that's kind of cool in that we don't have to have a bunch of qualifications, no qualification at all. That's just a cash game. So now we say, all right, if I can't get a full-time bookkeeping position, which as of right now you haven't been able to, what other kind of work can you do that you can use that skill set you already have plus some experience that you have, and we make $50,000? Because I'm okay with a day job as long as we are moving towards the dream job. And in this case, this is you continuing to volunteer. You know, if you were my wife or my sister, I'd go, okay, great. So we need to get a day job to help to make 50 grand to help pay the bills and get out of debt. Then in that whatever extra time you have, you need to continue to volunteer with teens, maybe even take a part-time job with teens so that you're staying in proximity. It's why I wrote the proximity principle. So you're staying in proximity.
I just got your book, actually.
Oh, good. Good. So
we've got it this Saturday.
Oh, great. So you read the book, the proximity principle, and you follow that and you stay in that zone where you're connecting with leaders, people that are already influencing and helping out that ideal demographic, okay? But really, I mean, you could move into working for a school, maybe not as a teacher if you're not qualified to be a teacher, but you could work in a school, maybe work in a YMCA. I don't know what the world, you know, you live in looks like there, but that at least gets you a day job and maybe you have some type of contact with young people. So I think right now, just day job is huge because you financially get in a place where you're prepared or preparing for the future. So
Do I wait to try to find a day job because my son is remote? I'm very limited where it could be.
No, you don't wait. Get remote work. No, okay. Because of your situation. And let me just call this out. I'm sorry, Damaris, that you're having to deal with this. Folks, this is an example of bad policy, and this is not a political statement. I'm just telling you. You have women like Damaris, folks. She's got a vision. She wants to go to. She can't do certain things because of the school systems are shut down.
Yes.
You can talk to any medical expert out there. Any medical expert. Kids ought to be back in school.
Amen.
Damaris can't do what she wants to do, politicians in New Jersey, because you're playing a political card or you're scared of getting criticized.
Yep.
While I'm on this little pulpit, we've been going to school all year in Tennessee.
Right.
Kids aren't dying. All right, enough of that. So, Damaris, here's the deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, trust me. I wish I could get the governor of New Jersey on. That'd be one debate I would do. Because, see, this isn't politics for me. This is we are not allowing men and women to pursue happiness.
Exactly.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote the pursuit of happiness in that eloquent line in the Declaration of Independence, there are professional women that have had to leave the workforce, careers they've worked long and hard for while being moms and wives. But you won't hear any liberals say that. Lockdowns are anti-women. There, I said it. Woo!
Yep. Very true.
Thank you. I'm going to keep Damaris on the entire show. Everything I say, she's amening. I've never had this before. It's fantastic. I just have this like built-in amen. But Damaris, I'm right, aren't I? Because you're living it.
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal. Enough about lockdowns and public health professionals who actually don't know anything about public health. You're going to have to get remote work unless you get some type of childcare situation that I'm sure you've already looked into. But yeah, you're just going to have to play the hand you're dealt. Now, hopefully the governor of New Jersey will eventually open that state up and you can get back to resuming life. So did I say coward out loud? Did that come out of my mouth? Oh, it did. Okay. All right. So we got to let people get back to work. We got to let kids get back to school. Go do your own homework on that. It's safe for kids to go to school. Okay? I can hear it now. You're no public health expert. You're right. But I am a dad of three kids who've been in school the whole year. And oh, by the way, they all played sports too. Without a mask on. I know. Here it comes. Have you noticed that the mask thing has become a religious issue? I mean, you can put politics, faith, and the mask all in the same hula hoop. Boy, you say the wrong thing about any one of those three at Thanksgiving dinner. Watch out! We got to let kids go back to school so moms can go to work and do their thing. Oh, well. I know I'm not the only one who thinks that. But this is real stuff. By the way, Wall Street Journal, Massachusetts, look it up today. There are kids, high schoolers, by the hundreds that are waiting for a bed in Massachusetts hospitals because of suicide and depression, because they haven't been to school, they haven't played sports, they haven't seen their friends. Isolation kills. We are relational human beings. Don't forget that. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear so you can get qualified. We help you get connected so you can get started. We help you get promoted so you can get the dream job. so that you can truly give yourself away, work like no one else. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Corey, who joins us in Lexington, Tennessee. Corey, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How's it going?
Corey, I'm living the dream. How can I help?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking my call. I am, what I found out recently, I am on the short list. I had an interview last week for a new position, and I am on the short list and looking for some assistance in getting through the second round of interviews, okay, including a salary negotiation.
Okay. So you've already gotten through the first round.
Yeah. And that interview was last week, and I felt like it went really well.
Okay.
And so they've asked a couple different times when we've communicated what I was looking for salary wise. I haven't given them a direct answer yet. I just told them that I'm open to any offer that they would make. I would be willing to consider, you know, based on whatever they have.
Is that true?
Position.
Is that true? I mean, do you, in your mind, no matter what number they come back, you're going to be like, sure, I'll consider that.
I think that would be true because, even their minimum, for this position is going to be an upgrade for me and my family.
Okay. All right. Well, now that's a good place to be. So when it comes to salary and stuff, it's not like you're going to be in a negotiation, although I will tell you it would be good for you to do some research and just see what the average salary is, or salary range rather, low, medium, mm-hmm. I mean small, medium, large salary for somebody in your field doing your work. That's always good to have, although I'm not sure you're going to need that in your second round of interviews. I think once they make you an offer, that's when you bring that up, because you've already signaled to them that you'll pretty much take anything. So it's not the way I would have approached that, because, you know, the natural inclination of most people is going to be, well, he'll take anything. So let's look at our budget. And let's say we had budgeted 45, and if he'll take 35, then let's put 35 in front of him. Now, it doesn't mean you have to take it, but you did kind of say that you put that out there. So I would expect, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would expect they might give you a little bit of a lower offer. And so then you can address that. But do your homework. Say, hey, I initially said this. I did some homework after the fact. Have that in your back pocket.
What the way that the conversation went for us, he asked kind of what I was thinking, and I said that based on the research that I've done, their company has a really great reputation in our area with compensation, and so I'm sure, you know, I want to be fairly compensated, obviously, but I'm open to, you know, I would be open to whatever they offer, and then we could talk specifics.
Okay, good.
Once they threw out a number,
good.
From the research I've done, it could be anywhere from 40 to 60.
What do you make currently?
Roughly. No, right now I make 32. Sometimes with bonuses, it could get up to 35.
Okay. Well, it's a good situation for you. So again, it's not like you did anything, you know, egregiously wrong. You just always want to do your market research and be armed with real data, or at least the most clear data that you can, and, you know, juxtapose that with your actual current income and budget and financial goals and everything else. So I think you're in good shape. So that second interview, you asked for some tips on the second interview. I'd kind of go back and review what you felt you did well in the first interview, review some of those answers. You still need to be prepared. You might be interviewing with different people. You might be interviewing with the same people. So always be thinking.
They did say I have an interview with HR in the morning, and then an interview with the VP of operations in the afternoon.
Were those people at all in your interviews before?
No, neither of them.
Then I would go back.
The first interview was with a group of four, but none of those are in the second.
Well, so I would go get if you haven't already, I'd go to my website, kencoleman.com, as soon as this call is over, and I would download the How to Win the Interview Guide and read it. It's a PDF. It's free. And it'll help you get prepared for certain questions. More importantly, I'm going to help you in this PDF think through the questions that you need to ask. I'll say this again and again and again. A way to stand out in the interview is being prepared to ask some really good questions yourself. It makes you look really, really good. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Joe, the bump music there got me so fired up there. I was drumming with the pencil, and the old rubber eraser was really bouncing off the desk, and it flew up in the air right before I didn't think I was going to make it in time. Love it. Who doesn't love to play a little air drum? But then when you have a pencil in your hand, you can actually, you know, get right at it. But beware, that eraser is in fact rubber and will bounce. So there you go. By the way, Madison told me that tomorrow is National Pencil Day. So I am a big fan of pencils. Have been for a long time. Got two right here. I have an actual old school pencil sharpener right here on the desk. I love a pencil. It's all I write with unless I sign a book. I will sign a book with a Sharpie. Other than that, I got my pencils. And tomorrow I'm going to teach on why everyone should be writing with a pencil and how it inspired me. It's actually very, very practical stuff. So there you go. Some of you are going, oh, geez, man. Wait till you hear this. The creative, you creative thinkers, people that are creative, trust me, pencil, it's a game changer. I'll talk about that tomorrow. Lovely day here. A bunch of people in the lobby at Ramsey Solutions today. My goodness, tons of people out there. And it reminds me to invite you to come watch. I not only do I host the Ken Coleman Show once a week, I'm co-hosting the Ramsey Show. That studio is just about, 12 feet or so to my left. And we love to have people come. We come out, sign books, take pictures, give high fives, the whole nine yards. So come join us sometime. All right, back to the phones we go. We're going to go to Tampa, Florida. And Kim is there. Kim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you. What's going on?
All right. So I'm completely frustrated with my job, with my career. I've been doing this, getting that real life experience for about 32 years. And you build on every job. You learn. You just learn the industry. And you learn how... I'm in my sweet spot. I love accounting. I love how it is relation to operations. So the previous job I held was there about 6 years, and I kind of got screwed over for a position that they kind of told me I was going to get. So I left, and I spent 4.5 months trying to find the right place. And I have a job, but to try and get the guy who's in charge, who is an I, I'm a high D on that DISC assessment, to get him to understand, he knows I'm smart, but to say, hey, guess what? I have a lot of experience. I know a lot. How do I get a seat at a management table? It just seems like I'm not getting where I want to go, and I don't know how to obtain it.
Yeah. How long have you been at this new position?
15 months.
And is this guy that you're talking about, is he your direct report, your direct leader? Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't hear your answer, so we must have lost you there. But, okay, so he's your direct leader. Now, in your mind, just give me a short answer here. What has to happen organizationally for you to get a management position? So, I mean, he's your current leader. So, let me give you an example. One example is he leaves. Somebody has to fill his shoes. Somebody maybe on his team does that. Maybe they bring somebody from the outside. That's what I'm looking for. So, in your mind, what would have to happen for you to have to step into an opportunity, a hole, a window?
He would just have to make that decision.
So, just create a leadership spot for you.
Exactly, because I'm currently working as a bookkeeper for a charter school, and to be able to change this, the rules for a district school are different with a charter school.
Okay.
District school is kind of like a secretarial position, but this is an actual bookkeeping position, but it's basically run as a company. Charter schools have to be run like companies, like businesses. Gotcha. And for him to get, he's a district guy, so to get him to change his psychology on not a secretary, but she knows what she's doing, he just has to make that decision. And to get him, I've kind of tried to get him to understand it, but it's really hard to do that.
Why is it so hard to get him to understand that you're qualified? I mean, so if you've gone into him and said, hey, I want this position, X.
Right.
What do I have to do to get that position? Have you had it that simple, that conversation that clearly?
Not that clear.
Okay, Oh, now I see what's going on. That's why you're laughing. You can't expect this guy to read your mind. I've been married almost 23 years in May, and Stacy still thinks that I can read her mind. I can barely read her lips. Joe, we were in the kitchen last night. We did a surprise for our middle son, and he was in the living room sitting next to me, and she got my attention. I looked over my shoulder, and she did one of these numbers you people can't see on radio, but she just mouthed a sentence to me. And I literally am like, nah, I got nothing. After almost 23 years, I literally got up, walked into the kitchen. If we need to go to another room where you can talk like a normal human being, then let's do that. But I can't read lips. Okay? I'm awful at it. I mean, like the worst. Okay? And I certainly can't read Stacy's mind. And I'm having some fun with you, Kim, because I think you already got the point. You've never sat down with this guy and said, and here's what you need to do within the week. Hey, leader, I really enjoy my work. It's in my sweet spot. There's this guy, Ken Coleman, I listen to, and this is how he defines it. It allows me to use what I do best, my talent, to do work I love, bookkeeping, to produce results that matter deeply to me, and I'm so glad I get this opportunity. And I just want to raise my hand because I'll be honest, I've just kind of tiptoed around the tulips a little bit with you. But I really want this position, and define it, name it, point it out, and then say, I'm willing to work for it. I know I've got what it takes, and I just want to start the conversation. Don't want to put you on the spot today, but I want to start the conversation about what it's going to take. What do I need to do? See, this is humility. You're not putting your boss on the spot. What do I need to do to be able to have the shot to get this? You've not done that clearly. And here's the deal. I think there are other people that would have figured out that you were tiptoeing around the tulips. But he hasn't. So you might want to spell it out for him. Because if you've ever been married, women, you know this. You can say things 8 different ways and we guys sometimes still don't get it. I just have a policy with Stacy. Please don't speak in code to me. Like you understand what I'm saying? Like Stacy will do this whatever. You know, we probably need to weed the flower beds. Wait. Let me just tell you something. Okay. There's no we doing anything. Okay. I know, and she knows, that she's highly allergic to the outdoors, plants and all that kind of stuff. For real. Like she gets very, very allergic. So she can't do that. So why does she say, Joe, we should probably weed the flower bed?
She's talking about the mouse in your pocket.
Right. So why don't you just say, hey, can you get out and weed sometime this week? I would do so much better with that. So this is a great example of how we, the people, don't communicate clearly to our leaders. And then we get frustrated when our leaders don't get our clues. I talked about this to start today's program. Most people leave leaders because of poor communication. A lot of these leaders have never been taught how to communicate. To sit down with you at least on a yearly basis and have an annual review and say, hey, here's how you're doing. Here's where you can improve. Where would you like to go? That's good leadership. But unfortunately, folks, there's no guarantee that you're going to have that. So this is a great situation where Kim's frustrated. She's like, Ken, I feel like I'm hitting a wall. And then when I dig into it, Kim's never looked at her leader and said, I want this position. What do I have to do to get there? Now, I'm having fun with Kim, but that's when we find out if we've got a leader who's actually interested in promoting us. If we don't know, We'll never know. All right. Good stuff. Hey, before I go, remember, you matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.